For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The finale of our running back props series here on the Prospects and Props podcast. Chris Schubert, Jamie Eisner back with you here once again on the show. The last chapter for us with running backs, but we still have a whole host of names for us to discuss here on the show today. And I will tell you, I don't want to do the show before the show, but earlier today, Jamie sent me the list of the wide receivers that we're going to do for this show, and we might be here for the next 3 months. That is how many wide receivers we have. There are five groups of wide receivers that we're going to discuss. So this prop series, while the running backs end today, the overall series continues tomorrow as we will move into the wide receiver series. But let's not put the cart in front of the horse, Jamie. Let's start talking about the last group of running backs that we have. And let's talk about a guy in Austin Eckler, the first name up for us to discuss here today. 810 and a half yards is the yardage number with 8.5 on the touchdowns. And you know I love to provide the historical context here. And it has been the last two seasons in which Austin Eckler has reached this number, 915 and 911 yards each of the last two seasons. The touchdowns each of the last 2 years have been the years in which he's gotten this, 13 touchdowns and 12 touchdowns each of the last 2 years. Before that, the first 4 years of his career didn't hit either of these numbers. And honestly, wasn't really close to hitting either of these numbers. So this 8.5, this 8.5 touchdown is a bet on him being close to what he has been the last two seasons in 2021 and 2022. And Jamie, overall, I look at this and I think Austin Eckler is still the player that we all thought he has been over the last 2 years. I don't see a huge statistical drop-off coming for him. I look at the offensive coach that has been brought in to run this offense. I think that is a positive for Austin Eckler. I don't know if we're cartwheeling. I don't know if we're running. I haven't decided yet. But I think I like both of these numbers, considering the context for Austin Eckler, who I didn't think was going to be a Charger entering the 2023 season.
Yeah, I actually like both of these numbers. And Austin Eckler, it's been very interesting because he has been used more as a pure runner these last couple years in the previous seasons, because everybody remembers the pass catching upside, and obviously he still has that. But he had that 92 catch season in 2019 that really got everybody's attention. And then I had 127 targets.
I was just going to say 107 catches last year, Jamie. Don't discount the passing numbers for Austin Eckler.
Trust me, I am not. But as a runner, he has had a much larger usage the last couple of years, and particularly in the red zone as well. If you remember earlier in his career, there was a lot of clamoring from Chargers fans and fantasy managers about him getting chances to score rushing touchdowns. Has not been a problem for him the last 2 years. You know, as I look at his projections, I haven't projected to get the most carries of his career this year, 232. And I think he's going to have the first 1,000-yard rushing season of his career on top of that. I haven't projected for 1,041 rushing yards and 11.5 rushing touchdowns this year. And I think a big reason why is you look at Kellen Moore coming over, and obviously we know how much Dallas loved to throw the ball. But they ran the ball pretty significantly as well. And I don't think that's going to change with Moore going over to Los Angeles this year. And let's be honest, quite frankly, who is going to steal touches from him in that backfield? And if you're not going to sign him long term, what's your incentive to not just load him up and use him as much as humanly possible for a Chargers team that absolutely has to do something to be in Super Bowl contention this year, given the talent that they have, despite the division that they're in? So I really like both of these numbers, and I think he will soar past both if he is relatively healthy this year.
Let me add one more thing to this before we move on to the next guy, Jamie, and that is we've had a lot of conversations over the last couple of days when doing this, and Alexander Mattison is the name that comes to mind that emphasizes this conversation, but this idea of an increased workload automatically means a doubling or an increase in your production, right? And we have been cautionary in doing that with Alexander Mattison. Well, Austin Eckler is the case study for how it worked out. because Austin Eckler in 2019 and 2020 had 132 and 116 yards effectively in both of those seasons. His yards per attempt in 2019 was 4.2, and his yards per attempt in 2020 was 4.6. He then increased his workload to over 200 carries each of the last two seasons, which is close. It's not a apples to apples, but it's 70, 80, 90 more carries than what he did in those 2 years. And his yards per attempt, 4.4 and 4.5 over the last two seasons. So it stayed relatively similar to the output with the increased workload. So you don't worry about the idea of him being utilized more because we've seen it. He has added some, he went from 116 in 2020 to 206, almost 100 carries more. And his yards per attempt only went from 4.6 to 4.4.
Yeah, and again, we're not projecting him to get like a massive difference. He's at 206, 204, and I have him at 232.
But what I'm saying is the jump that you have him making is not as big of a jump as we've seen him make from season to season. So that's a positive sign for Austin Eckler, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And obviously, this is only one element of his game, the rushing totals in particular. Obviously, he is, I mean, is he not the premier pass catching back in the league right now?
Is he not the premier pass catching back in the league right now? He asks. I mean, Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Would be in the conversation?
Absolutely, he would be. Those are the two, right? Like, I think
Travis Etienne, maybe?
Not in that tier. I think it's McCaffrey and
Jahmyr
Eckler.
Gibbs, potentially, by the time the season's over?
But we got to see.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's McCaffrey and Eckler in a tier of their own in terms of pass catching backs.
I would agree with that statement.
In terms of just pure production. Like, we can talk about talent upside, all that, but pure production-wise, McCaffrey and Eckler are blowing the field out of the water.
Joe Mixon, the next running back for us to discuss here on
still
the
on
show.
The Bengals.
Still on the, just like Austin Eckler was surprised that he's still in the Chargers, surprised Joe Mixon is still on the Bengals. 825.5 on the yards, 7.5 on the touchdowns. And Jamie, I mean, Joe Mixon's career is a tale. It's a roller coaster ride. It is ups and downs, and the numbers bounce all over the place. Last season, 814 yards and 7 touchdowns. So basically, they're taking those numbers and making that his line for this season. But the year prior, 1,200 yards on the ground, 13 touchdowns. 2020, only played in 6 games, had 428 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in 2018 and 2019. So effectively, in seasons where he's been primarily healthy and has played double-digit games, he's basically been a 1,000-yard rusher, Jamie, if you exclude his rookie season and then last year when he missed 2 games. But the last 2 seasons he played 16 or more games, he was an 1,100-yard rusher at a minimum, and he had 13 touchdowns 2 years ago. This is close because it is a up-and-down roller coaster with Joe Mixon as a running back. Health has been a question mark over his career. The usage has been a question mark in his career, how they utilize him. So I might just stay away from it from that regard, but I don't think these numbers are outlandish.
No, they're really not at all. And I have him going slightly over on both of them. Like, my projections have him at 933 yards and 9.25 touchdowns. But it is interesting because if you look at the way he was used last year, it was finally the year where he got leaned on fairly heavily as a pass catcher. You know, set career highs in targets with 75, catches with 60, receiving yards of 441. And so they used him in that role, and they gave him the fewest amount of carries he's had in a full season or full-ish season since his rookie year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because you go back to 2018, 2019, you know, 237, 278, and then he had 292 carries in 2021 in his only Pro Bowl season. And I think for me, the difference is I don't see him getting back into that 260, 270, 292 range in terms of carries going forward. I think he's going to be somewhere, you know, probably close to that 2018 number, somewhere in the 230s is kind of where I have him there. And I don't think he's quite going to get enough to be a 1,000-yard rusher, because I think the other dirty little secret is he hasn't really been that effective in terms of efficiency as a rusher in his career. His multifaceted usage is really what's kind of put him on the radar. And I'd argue that he's probably a better fantasy running back than a real life running back, in my opinion as well. But I still think he has the ability to get these yards with the amount of work he's going to get inside of that offense. So I get you wanting to stay away, and these are not ones that, again, we only have a limited amount of capital that each of us could spend on these prop bets, and it's not one of those ones where he's clearing it by enough that I'm running to the window. But I do think this is a fairly conservative, safe line that has been set by the odds makers here.
All right, Jamie, I think this next guy is going to be a very fun conversation because I have some additional information that I want to share with the listeners for this player, and that's Kenneth Walker of the Seattle Seahawks. His number is 950.5 on the yard, 7.5 on the touchdowns. Now, last year, It was a 1,000-yard season, 1,050 yards on the ground, and 9 touchdowns. So he cleared this last season. I think the things you'd be concerned about are the idea that they brought Zach Charbonnet, they brought Kenny McIntosh in via the draft into this room. We know Seattle likes to use multiple running backs. The fact that they invested some top-end draft capital into a backup running back means that Kenneth Walker might not take off into a workhorse-style role where he's getting all of the carries. It might be a split. I found this tweet when doing some research for the show back from June 26th. A reporter for the Seahawks.
You say that like that was like months ago.
It feels like because of how many episodes like you recorded ahead of your vacation, it feels like months ago.
All the way. I found that I dug deep and 2.5 weeks ago, I found this tweet.
I just saw it. And it was a Seahawks reporter, Corbin Smith, who was on Sirius XM Fantasy. Now, it doesn't necessarily matter for what we're doing here, but I think the quote itself is going to be important. Quote, I think it's safe to assume that Kenneth Walker will see 17 touches per game this season. Now, 17 touches was his 2022 average. So you have that information from a reporter who covers the team saying that he's going to have a similar workload to the workload that he had last year that outputted a 1,000-yard season with 9 touchdowns. Then there's the other side of me that goes, they added Zach Charbonnet and Kenny McIntosh in the draft. And then there's a third side of me that has pointed this out at every turn I've had the opportunity to talk about it. They're going to run the ball a bajillion times because that's who they are as a team. And attempting to take all that information and put it together and try to figure out what it all means is very difficult.
How many sides of you are there? Just three?
Well, for this, it's a triangle. Yeah, there's three sides. Okay.
Are you you're definitely not an acute triangle. All right, so I did some
That's the lamest joke you've ever told on this show. Funny, but lamest joke you've ever told
on this show. I'm sure
it's not. The Matt Belarus one is probably the worst one you've ever
heard.
Still plays in the TD and Premium Discord. They're still making fun of you for that weeks later.
That's great. So in my projections, I have them down for 15.93 touches per game. So so let's just say 16
for funsies. So I think this is very, very important. You have a lower output in terms of carries per game than he had last year.
Well, this is total touches, but yes. I mean, I think I have like 28 catches. So obviously it's not going to be a huge part of his game, but yes, little bit lower than last year.
So do you still have him beating these numbers?
I do. I think, again, it's small, but I think there's a lot of things working in Walker's favor. And I know everybody's worried about Charbonnet. But I think if you look back at the way the Seahawks offenses have run for pretty much the post Marshawn Lynch era, and we have seen them use multiple backs effectively and early and often, and we've seen it again, they've had some health issues along the way. So we rarely have seen, you know, we haven't really seen a full season of two backs, but whether it was Chris Carson and Rashad Penny or Chris Carson and others, and we have seen different
Travis
guys
Homer.
Come in. Travis Homer is a pass catching and DJ Dallas is a pass catcher. And there's been different combinations of guys, but they've been able to have success. And there's been able to have, even when both guys were on the field, like the brief time we saw both Carson and Penny on the field together, there's been opportunities for them to get plenty of carries. And I think that's what's going to happen here with Kenneth Walker being the clear RB1. I think Zach Charbonnet is going to be the clear change of pace back. And I believe DJ Dallas will come in on third and obvious and third and long passing situations. And I think that's been kind of consistent with the way that Seattle has used their running back group really throughout the season. And so for me, I have Kenneth Walker at 242 carries. I have him getting a little over 1,100 rushing yards and 9.5 touchdowns. So again, it's not a huge, huge jump over what these numbers are, but I think I feel pretty confident that he's going to go over both as long as he's healthy. I don't project this is going to be a 50-50 split. No. I don't think this is going to be a conversation where we're going like, oh no, Kenneth Walker's losing his job. I think Kenneth Walker's going to be given the opportunity to get in the middle teens in touches every single game. Most of those being carries. I imagine he's going to be in the, you know, one or two catches per game park, but you know, he's going to be in that 14, 15 carries a game, every single game. And I can also see him riding the hot hand sometimes and him getting 24, 25, 26 carries. And I think there's actually even more upside here than what I projected. So I think the Charbonnet concern is already baked into these numbers, and I think it's been overstated in these numbers. If you believe Kenneth Walker is going to stay healthy this year, I see no reason why he will not get enough workload, even with Charbonnet in the backfield, to get you 1,000 yards.
Jamie, I think we've got our first cartwheel to the podium of the show.
Oh, yeah, you love this guy.
The next guy we're going to talk about, Damian Pierce, running back for the Houston Texans. 900.5 on the yards. Five and a half on the touchdowns. Jamie, my guy.
This is all you, man.
13 games last year.
It's all you.
13 games last year. Had a season-ending ankle injury. He missed the last four games of the season. Four games. Played in 13 games. I just want to remind everybody, he missed four games. Only played in 13. Did you need me to tell you one more time? He missed four games last year.
You were doing it a third time?
Okay. He had 939 rushing yards. He was going to be a 1,000-yard rusher as a rookie in 14 games. And I don't want to hear that all the Houston Texans are going to be bad, so they're not going to run the ball a ton. The Houston Texans were not very good in 2022. And they ran the ball 220 times with Dameon Pierce, and he almost was a 1,000-yard rusher. And I know the type of offense that they're going to run there in San Francisco, so there's going to be opportunity for Dameon Pierce to run the ball. I don't see any reason why Dameon Pierce cannot beat these numbers in 2023 and be a 1,000-yard rusher. Now, I'm not going to bet on the touchdowns. 5.5 touchdowns, he had 4 last year. I'm going to stay away from that. But from a yards perspective, I think Dameon Pierce can be a 1,000-yard rusher next season. Cartwheels.
I have him at 999.
So you have him as a 1,000-yard rusher. Welcome. Come on over.
Yes, but I don't feel great enough to bet on this because, I do think he's going to run a little bit more. I have him at 227 carries this year. But despite what you say, Chris, them being terrible does matter. And I think them being terrible with a quarterback that they want to throw the ball with
will change the
math a little bit.
They were terrible last year
with Davis Mills. I think they're going to want to give C.J. Stroud the opportunity to throw more when they're terrible. You know what I mean? Like, there are times when the Texans were still running the ball when they were down 3 scores. I think that's going to change a little bit. I also think the addition of Devin Singletary is a better piece in the backfield than Houston had last year. Again, I still believe he's going to flirt with 1,000 yards. I don't think he gets to 5.5 touchdowns, by the way. I have him at 4.2 touchdowns. Just, again, team's not very good. I like this. This is one that you can take. You're not going to have to worry about me
love
snagging
that.
From you in our draft.
Love
you can
that
take
for
this
me.
One because I do have some other concerns there. But I do think the yardage is a little feels a little low. But, like, again, I can't. 999 and 4.2 for me versus 905.5. I think these are fine. I think these lines are fine. This is a stay away for me.
Speaking of stayaways, I don't know what to do with this next guy.
Yeah, man. The Bucs are...
Rashad White, running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 615.5 on the yards, 4.5 on the touchdowns. Last year for Rashad White in his 2022 campaign, 481 yards on the ground and 1 touchdown. I mean, Jamie, you talked about being bad, impacting a running back's output. The Bucs are going to be one of the worst teams in football.
Yeah.
This has to be a stay away. You need to be consistent in your principles. If Dameon Pierce was a stay away, Rashad White needs to be a stay away.
Yes, the difference in my principles is 650 yards is different than 900 yards.
Fair enough.
I probably stay away, but I think I have him projected for 807 yards and 3.2 touchdowns.
How many carries?
So I don't think he gets there for the touchdowns. Carries, I have him at 212, I believe. 212.
So almost 100 more than he had in his rookie season.
Yeah, I mean, because who else is getting the ball?
No, it's just context. I'm just providing context to the listeners. Almost 100 more carries. And he was only a 3.7 yard per attempt guy
in
his rookie season.
If you did the quick math and you had 212 carries, 807 yards, it's not a fun number. Like, let's be honest. Like, that's not a fun number. I'm probably staying away but I will admit that, like, 650 is not a big mark to clear. Like, on a per game basis, I'm just gonna do the mathematics here.
Okay.
In a 17 game regular season, that's 38.26 yards per game. I mean, that's not a lot.
I know, but the Tampa Bay running game was abysmal last year,
and it's gonna be abysmal this year.
So I don't love it.
And they were at least competitive at times last year,
and they're gonna be the opposite this year.
They're not going to be competitive very often this year. I'm okay if you want to take the over on yards, just because it is very, very
low. It is low. I can't endorse it. We'll not be taken in the draft.
Am I going to have any fun betting on this, Chris?
No.
That's why I probably won't. Am I going to enjoy this at all?
The fun principle.
I don't think I'm going to enjoy
The prospects and props fun betting principle. Would I enjoy betting on this? If the answer is no, then don't do it.
And look, the other concern I have too is I don't think Rashad White's a particularly effective runner in general.
3.7 yards per attempt.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to get a lot better. Like, that's not his calling.
He might get to 3.9.
You and I watched him a lot because of the ASU background.
Yeah, he's fine.
So he's a fine player, and he is the perfect player to play the role he played last year late in the season. But I don't think he's a lead back. And we'll see. But here's the one thing I would definitely do if you want to bet on this one. Wait. Because my concern would be is they add back late here.
That's where Dalvin Cook's going to end up. Got it. He's going to go to Tampa. Got it. I see what you're doing there.
I take whatever the hell Miami's offering before I go to Tampa. I don't care what. I don't care if it's low. I'm taking whatever Miami's offering.
Miles Sanders, the next name up for us to discuss. We've got Miles Sanders and one more player. Miles Sanders, new running back for the Carolina Panthers. 925.5 on the yards. No prop on the touchdowns.
Yeah.
Jamie's only hit this once in his career. Yeah. And
This is a brisk jog to the window.
It's like an Olympic speed walk to the bat window.
Yeah.
Really?
Miles Sanders is one of the most underappreciated running backs in the NFL.
Okay. Well, hold on now, because you didn't let me do my portion of the show here.
You're right. I'm sorry. I ran right over you.
Because he's only hit this number once, and it was last year. So if I were to push back, I agree with you. I'm also brisk jogging to the podium for this number for Miles Sanders.
Yep.
But if I was to push back, I would say, Chris and Jamie, he's only done this once, and it was last year in one of the most prolific offenses that we've seen in the National Football League in a really long time. And if you made that argument, I don't really have a counter to you. But I will say, I love a lot of what this Carolina coaching staff on offense is going to do this year. I love the way this staff's put together.
And the reality of the situation is this is the reason why he put up these numbers last year is because he finally got the workload.
Well, 259 carries.
He had never had more than 179 carries in a season.
He had over 120 carries more than 2021.
Yes. But he's been very effective with literally since he walked into the league.
Also, it's very hard to do what Miles Sanders did in 2021, which was play in 12 games, have 137 carries, and not score a touchdown.
Well, if you remember, that was the running joke.
Well, Boston Scott stole all his touchdowns.
Yeah, there was that weird run there where he wasn't scoring touchdowns, but he's always had to split, and I thought he was always splitting carries with backs that weren't as good as him for the most part.
Now, the concern I would have here is he did see a big dip in his yards per attempt with the increased workload. He went from being around the 5.4 mark to being all the way down at 4.9 with the increased workload.
But I think that's reasonable to expect. Like if he had dropped to 4.3 or 4.4 or something, I'd be concerned. But it's really tough to make. I mean, unless you're Nick Chubb, it's really tough, which we've talked about on previous shows. But like, it's really tough to maintain an average over 5 when you start to get into the 200 carry mark. Like it's extremely difficult. So him still being able to maintain 4.9 doesn't concern me whatsoever. I think this is going to be the true breakout year for, I would argue last year was the true breakout year for Miles Sanders, but his hype got lost in the shuffle of what that Jalen Hurts led offense was. Mm-hmm. And obviously having AJ Brown come in and Devonta Smith having another good year. And we lost that. He has had this inside of him his entire career, but he's always had to split carries in my opinion, with lesser backs. He's not going to have to do that this year. He's going to be the lead guy. Yes, they'll work, you know, Chuba Hubbard will get a little work here or there, blah, blah, blah. But he's going to be the lead guy in Carolina. I think they're going to lean on him, and I'm really excited for his season. I have him getting 255 carries this year, 1,250 yards, 8.7 touchdowns.
Yeah, we might fight over this one.
I like this one a lot.
Yeah,
I would argue going back to yesterday's show.
Okay.
That this is an element going back to his early part of his career that would add additional level of concern for Travis Etienne this year of the penchant for Doug Peterson to use multiple backs.
Yes. Even if they're worse.
Skill difference between backs 1 and 2.
It's a great point.
So this is just kind of the precursor for that, or I guess the addendum to that conversation that we had on the last show about why the concerns we have about that prop aren't about the talent that Travis Etienne has, but the situation that he's found himself in this year.
All right. I'm ready. I got the elbows out.
Oh, boy.
I got the elbows out. I'm ready. I think we're going to fight over this.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're going to fight over guys not even in the NFL right now.
I mean, he is in the NFL right now. He just has not officially put his name on.
Is he under contract in the NFL right now, Chris? Yes or no?
Technically, I think the answer is no, but I don't know how that works.
I think technically he didn't retire, but yeah, but yes.
Giants running back Saquon Barkley. Where if you are longtime listeners of anything that Jamie and I have done, you know that Saquon Barkley is always a player that is always the center of conversation for us.
All right, so Chris, can I break the fourth wall for a second?
1,000%. Please go right ahead.
This is the last player that we're going to discuss in our running back.
Okay, it is.
And I set him here specifically.
Okay.
because I expected to return to the to North America and him have a contract already or something solved already, and that way we could talk about this with no auxiliary things out there.
Well, Jamie, do you want to move him into the end of the wide receiver show?
And we have no resolution.
1,500 are the yards. He does not have a touchdown prop on the board, maybe because he's not signed a contract with his team. It's probably the reason why that's not on the board. Look, Jamie, this is simple for me. This is simple. If Saquon Barkley is healthy, which he is, right? If he had to go to the doctor and check a box, are you currently healthy? The answer would be yes for Saquon Barkley.
Why would you have to go to the doctor to check a box if you're healthy?
No, what I meant is like when you go to the... When you go to the doctor's office, they ask, like, you know, are you a smoker?
It's like going to a restaurant, Chris, and checking a box. Are you hungry? Like, why the F are you there?
Well, then there you go. But what I'm saying is, if he was required to answer the question, are you healthy, yes or no, the answer is yes. There's nothing going on with Saquon Barkley right now. That's the point I was making. He's a 1,000-yard rusher if he's healthy.
Correct.
So he's healthy. So take the over. This is simple.
Yeah, but what if he sits out games? Like this is the entire conversation. Because look, I did not project him to sit out in my rankings, and I have him at 1,287 yards and 8.6 touchdowns. So that's where I have him there. Cool, way over the number. The reason why this is down at 1,000 is because do we think that Saquon sits any NFL games? Do we think his holdout at any point lasts? Because it's July 12th, I believe the date.
I'll pull it up. I saw it earlier.
Like this week? Is it this week?
I think it's the beginning of next week, but I'll look. While you're talking, I'll look.
Oh, it might be the 17th. 17th feels right.
Well, you're supposed to talk while I look it up.
Yeah, so there's a hard date to, if you want to sign a long-term contract for franchise-tagged players, you have to sign it by this date, or your only options are to play under the tag or sit out. So we are getting rapidly close to the date that Chris is looking up right now that I'm a little surprised he hasn't got to yet.
So it's 1 week from it. It's 1 week from the 10th, so the 17th. You are correct.
Okay. Lucky enough, that date popped in my head. So the 17th. We are 5 days away from this. If no long-term deal is done, which as of, again, things can change quickly, and you know what they say, deadlines spur action. So we'll talk on our shows next week about this. But if no deal gets done, and no, I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to sit out the entire season. I think the Le'Veon Bell experiment has absolutely poisoned that for anybody that wants to do it. But it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to play week one. They have until, last I checked, and I don't think this changed when they added the game. I believe they have until week 10 to sign their tag and play, or else they miss the rest of the season. It's like miss any games up until week 10. And if they have not signed their tag by week 10, they're not eligible to play that season at all.
Right.
We haven't seen a case in a while of a player holding out a small number of actual games. We see guys holding out preseason and training camp and stuff. But
Jesse Bates was the big name last year. He sat out like the beginning of training camp and a preseason game, but he was there ready to go by the time the season started.
But I am very intrigued by what Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs are going to do.
Well, technically, because Tony Pollard can sign a long-term extension. But yes, he signed his tag, so he's not going.
No, but I mean, in terms of if they're going to hold out regular season games or not.
Yeah.
Tony Pollard can't do that. He signed his contract.
Right. I think this is pretty clear, though, Jamie. The Giants can't afford to start week one without Saquon Barkley. This is going to get done. Now,
the problem is it doesn't get done by Monday, but then the Giants don't have a choice. They cannot want to get him done. Like, there's no contract wiggle room at that point.
Sure, but
deal done by Monday.
But and again, it's easy for me to sit here with the bravado that I just did and say it's going to get done, right? It much easier said than done.
But, and to be fair, Chris, more often than not in these situations, they do get done.
But we did this. We had this exact conversation debating Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs, and you and I both said that Saquon Barkley is more important to the success of the New York Giants in 2023 than Josh Jacobs is. And so that's the more likely deal to get done because there's more urgency on the team side of things. If Josh Jacobs wants to hold out, the Raiders will be like, all right, dude, you want to hold out? That's on you. Like, we're not really factoring you into our long-term plans anyway. Saquon Barkley is the Giants' offense. No offense to Daniel Jones, who they just gave $40 million to. If they walk into 2023, Jamie, with Daniel Jones and is Wayne Gallman still the backup running back? They have Eric Gray there as well.
No, they're Breida.
So, we got Matt Breida and Eric Gray as the top options at the running back position for the New York Giants in 2023, that's not great. Matt Breida, Eric Gray, Gary Brightwell, Jashawn Corbett is the running back room after Saquon Barkley for the New York Giants. They can't do it. They can't walk into a year where they're probably the third best team in their division based on what they just did last year and all the expectations that are going to be on that team after you just gave Daniel Jones $40 million. You can't walk into week one of the regular season with Saquon Barkley not signed. You can't do it. He's too important to your offense. We've talked about the inefficiencies that they have at the wide receiver group. We like Darren Waller. We like Paris Campbell. You and I love Sterling Shepard. We've been huge supporters of what they've done. We're a believer in what they're doing there. But Saquon Barkley is the straw that stirs the drink there in New York. They need him on this team. So I just don't see a scenario where they let the 17th come and go and they don't have him with a long-term deal. So, ergo, I think he plays week one. And if he's healthy, he's a 1,000-yard rusher. So I am speed walking to the bet window.
Enjoy. I'm not putting my money down until I know if he's playing a full season or not. Or at least has the, at least until I know he has the eligibility to play a full season.
You think
season.
This number changes if he signs?
Absolutely it does.
What do you think it goes to?
11. I think it goes to 1,100.
Goes to 1,100.
I still have the over on that.
He's done it, twice. He did it in his rookie year and he did it last year.
I guess this is, again, is like, are you feeling lucky?
Yeah. Is this a gamble you're willing to take? Now, I think for us on the show, by the time we do the props draft, this will resolve itself. And so we'll have a new number for this. So we won't have to make that concern. But if there are people out here that listen to the show and they immediately take our advice and go do things with it, this is one I would probably wait.
One, I apologize.
Yeah, what? Well, hold on. You don't know that yet. We haven't tracked our results for an entire year yet on the show.
Here's the thing. Obviously, we're trying to predict the future, and it's you can never do that. But I feel really confident in my projections. I know I'm not going to be 100% right, because like I said on the last show, if I was, then I'd be a millionaire and I wouldn't be doing this with you.
Wouldn't be hanging out
with
me.
Associate myself with somebody of your caliber. Right. But it's I think the best potential option for us as we start to look at these is, and again, it goes back for those that maybe have not are listening out of order or haven't listened to the fantasy shows. These all come back to projecting workload, projecting passing volume, rushing volume, offensive trends of the last 3 years, target shares, rushing shares, all that other stuff that comes into it. So I think it's a pretty decent baseline for us to kind of go, okay, where do we feel like the market is incorrect on these totals? But I will say this to your point, Chris. What's the commercial? This is like Fortune Favors the Bold or whatever that the casinos are. There's a casino in Arizona that always did this.
It's the Gila River Casinos. Fortune Favors the Bold. Yeah.
A bunch of people that look very happy and with their $30 drinks or whatever. If you feel like, yeah, there's no way the Giants go in the season without getting this deal done with Saquon Barkley, then there's value.
Yep. I think
there's value right now on this bet. I'm just going to be like, I'm going to sit back and wait, because I'm more risk averse when it comes to season long stuff, because my money's being tied up for a long period of time.
The 2 years in which Saquon Barkley didn't hit this number of 1,000 yards was the year he played in 2 games and got hurt. And then it was the year he returned from the injury. And if there's one thing that you can take away from this show, is we always talk about when it comes to severe knee injuries or lower body injuries to running backs, that first year back, you don't put a lot of stock into. And that first year back, people freaked out because they thought Saquon Barkley was never going to be the same running back again. He just needed to get his sea legs underneath him because he exploded last year and was back to the player that he was in his rookie season. So I'm all in on this because I think he's going to be on the team week one. I don't see a scenario where he sits out. So if you're interested, if you like risky plays like that, then I think this is one for you. But that is it for us when it comes to the running back group here on our props discussions shows. But don't worry. Don't fret. We've got wide receivers starting tomorrow. 5 groups of wide receivers, and each group's got about 40 guys in it. So we're going to be here for a while.
Also, we're going to start off hot in tomorrow's show. Justin Jefferson is going to be the first receiver.
He is the first name on the list. I'm looking at the list here in front of me. He's the first name we're going to discuss.
We're
going to
start off hot, so you do not want to miss it. Five episodes of wide receivers, and we're going to do a tight end only episode as well. So that is coming down the pike. So there's a lot of props that we're going to get to you. 6 shows worth of props. Takes on Takes is going to be there in the middle somewhere.
Sure.
Twice in the middle somewhere. Really exciting lineup of shows here as we get deeper into July and closer to training camp.
Yeah. And so while you're waiting for the wide receiver show to drop tomorrow, do us a favor, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, share the show. We greatly do appreciate it. You've got the YouTube version of the show over on the Draft Network YouTube channel. Give the video a thumbs up, comment, subscribe, turn on the notification bell so you know when new videos and new live streams drop. We've got stuff going up every day on the platform. We greatly appreciate it if you'd hang out with us out over there. You can follow me on Twitter at @ChrisSchubert_. You can follow Jamie on Twitter at Jamie Eisner. Day two of me trying to get Jamie Eisner on Threads. It has not worked yet. He is still not joined, but we will keep you updated on the progress of that throughout the rest of the summer. But that's going to do it for us here on this edition of the show. We'll talk to y'all again tomorrow.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.